Omega Man Radio has been commissioned to invade deep into enemy territory, drive out the hosts of hell, and take back the land. Our mission is to preach Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is the only name written under heaven by which men might be saved. Cast out demons and pray for the sick that they may be healed in Jesus' name. If this program is a blessing to you and you would like to take part in this harvest of men's souls, join with us and attack the hosts of hell by donating any amount online at www.omegamanradio.com.
Are you ready?
Ready to take a ride. Grab your coffee
and strap yourself in.
If you listen, we can hear God's plan.
Because the show is about to begin. You're listening. You're listening to the Omega Man Radio Network.
Just going to jump right on in. Welcome aboard. Hope everybody had a great weekend out there. We are in a very important calendar. Today is September 26, 2022. Gentlemen, would you like to open us up in prayer, and then the microphone is yours.
Go ahead, Tom.
Yes, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you again, and we ask that you be in charge. For Lord, we see the events that are unfolding before us. We see your word that prophesies these things that will come, and other things that it say, you say men's hearts will melt and fail them for those things they look upon coming. Those things of heavenly, the heavenly realm that none of us have been taught and yet are. Lord, prepare us, strengthen us, give us courage, no matter what it is that comes our way, that we may know that you are the only living God, and that in you we have refuge, and we are protected, for you are our shield and our buckler, our secret place in which we hide, under the shadow of your wings. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for your great promise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Welcome, gentlemen. And the microphone is yours.
Okay, just before we get started, I think a lot of people know that today is Yom Teruah, Feast of Trumpets. And it starts the rabbinical new year. Not the biblical new year. The biblical new year started back in March. And what we are looking at is the seventh month, the first day of the seventh month. And we come to October 5th. We're going to have what we call Yom Kippur. We'll be back with you then. And I don't know if we're going to do much special on this program except teach like we usually do. I understand Pastor Cullen will be on in a couple hours. He'll probably do more with this. And in fact, I'll probably be listening in while he does. So, but tonight, some of you might have heard me Friday night, or Saturday night it was. Wouldn't do it Friday night, but Saturday night. And I started talking about Proverbs 30. And I said to you then, I think we're going to have to look at this a little closer. Because stuck at the end of Proverbs is a prophecy. Some of us are saying, huh? We didn't think there was prophecies in the book of Proverbs. Well, yes, there is. But first we have to talk about the guy who wrote this prophecy. His name is Agur. And we've never seen hide nor hair of him anywhere else in the Bible. We know who he is. I'd like to know more about him. Maybe someday I will. In fact, I think a lot of people will. We know he is the son of Yakuth. And we guess what? We know nothing about him. We know that he gave this prophecy to two guys. Nobody else. And two guys we don't know any more about than we do about Agur or his father Yakuth. But he's a humble man. Listen to his words. Surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. Which is another way of saying I'm pretty young to be doing all this. I have neither learned wisdom, because I haven't studied enough, nor have knowledge of the holy. Yet, for some reason, what he's saying here is very much regarded by his peers as very valid words. When Hezekiah put together the book of Proverbs, we see that he included this prophecy in chapter 30. And why? That's something you'll have to ask Hezekiah. But I'm sure he had a good reason, and I'm sure the priests working under him wouldn't have suggested it unless they thought it was valid. So let's continue on. We talked about this first verse last Saturday, so I'm not going to talk about it again. So we'll drop down to verse 5. It's a word that's often in proof texts on the validity of the Bible. Every word of Eloah, or our Heavenly Father, is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Very, very important phrase. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Many times that's why we study the Bible. We have to study it individually. Don't just figure the church is going to do it for you. Don't figure your preacher's going to do it for you. No, you've got to do it yourself. And you've got to put these words into your heart. And it's got to become part of you. And if it will, Major Baird can testify. He's written a whole book testifying about how our Heavenly Father was with him in the jungles of Vietnam, in the teeth of the Soviet Union in Europe, and even up in the skies of Alaska, which is not exactly the best place to be flying your plane. But he will testify.
It's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful place, but it's very dangerous.
That's what I'm saying.
Many mountains.
There's so many things that can go wrong when you're operating a flying vehicle that we have to trust our Heavenly Father, or you may not make it. And I've had a few events in my own life that we've talked about and have dealt with. But remember these words. Every word of our Heavenly Father is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. And what's even more interesting is as we come closer to the end, these words are getting purer. And pure as we study them and find out what he's trying to tell us. But here's another thing. Here's a warning. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. We found that with the Pharisees. If you go read the Gospels, Yahushua constantly went after the Pharisees and reproved them and found them to be liars. Told them, you're of our father, the devil. Of your father, the devil. And there he is, pointing it right out, because what have they done? They have added. They've tried to put a fence around the law, thinking that the Messiah was going to come and redeem them from the Romans and give them back their own country. They didn't listen to Agur. And they should have. Wouldn't you agree?
Amen.
But now we're going to go into, he's got some personal requests he's stuck in here, and I think they're requests every man should desire, which is why I think they didn't get stricken. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Number one, remove me far. Remove far from me vanity and lies.
Amen.
And two, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is Yahuwah? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my Elohim in vain. All these guys that say that you're most blessed when you're rich, I'm not so sure. Look at Solomon, who probably wrote most of Proverbs. He should have paid attention to this man.
Well, he should have paid attention to his own words that came from the Lord.
Yes. But like I say, these words apparently didn't come from him. But he should have listened to him anyway, because eventually his wives left him, led him away from our Heavenly Father. And suddenly he's sacrificing to false Elohim, which his father David taught him not to do and instructed him not to do. And so, again, we got to be careful who we listen to. If they start talking prosperity, go back and look at this verse again. You get too rich, you're going to forget your Heavenly Father. And this isn't the only guy saying it. Moses said the same thing in Deuteronomy. He said,
well, you know, when you are seeking out the Lord and you're seeking the treasuries of his righteousness that come with humility, that come with his life, that come with his light, and you're seeking these things, wealth is a unwelcome interruption because you have to take care of it. And who wants to take care of that when you would be rather taking care of those things of God?
Taking care of your soul.
Exactly.
Next one's a good piece of advice too. Accuse not a servant unto his master, lest he curse thee and thou be found guilty. As a officer in the army, what is one of the first things you do? You protect your men.
Amen.
And if there's any problems with those men, you want to take care of that inside your own company. you're not gonna let a third party do it. And that's Amen. And it's always better that you work the chain of command. It's better you deal with the person you have a problem with than to go above him.
Well, then, and two, also, as a commander, you have extra responsibilities because you have to make sure that your subordinates are following through on taking care of their men.
Exactly. So it's important, don't break the chain of command.
Amen.
Now, we get into some interesting prophecies. And I think he was just as horrified when he saw this as we are today.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to say it. I'm just going to read these. And everyone listening, tell me this is not our time he's talking about. There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from off the earth, and the needy from among men. I hate to bring it up, but every time I hear stuff from the World Economic Forum, I see this very thing. I see this, trying to point to it. I'm not succeeding. There I go. But whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives.
Yep.
And their goal, to devour the poor from off the earth.
Yeah. What is the Agenda 2030?
Agenda 21, 20,
yes.
Agenda 2030.
Yep.
And how many others they aren't telling us about. This is, and here it is, something written at the time of Solomon. We have yet, when we see this, we have yet to see Isaiah, we have yet to see Jeremiah, we have yet to see Ezekiel, yet this man is bringing it up before all these others. Boy, sometimes I wonder a little bit. But to continue. This is a verse that our friend Bill Schneblin brought up. And I'm going to read it and then I will tell you what he says about it. And I happen to agree with him. The horse leech hath two daughters, crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things say not, it is enough. The grave and the barren womb. The earth that is not filled with water. I think some people in the Sahara Desert would like to see some water. There's a lot of places on this earth that would like to see some water. In fact, there's a lot of discussion about a shortage of water coming. Of course, they've been saying that for about 30 years, but I think we're actually coming to that place where it might come to pass. Number three on this list. and the fire that saith not, it is enough. When a fire burns, it consumes everything, and it does not stop because we want it to stop. One of the things we've learned in life is that there are just some forces in nature that do not stop on our word. And the fire is one of them. And then finally, the eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother. The ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles or vultures shall eat it. Eventually. By the way, that word horse leech, Bill Schneblin equates it with vampire. And when I researched the Hebrew word, I found out he wasn't wrong. But it's very hard to get anybody to admit to it. But I would rather admit to truth than to hang on to a lie, as we've done way too many times. Heavenly Father, forgive us for hanging on to lies.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
And so this particular one I put in the word vampire. I just didn't want to shock everyone too quickly. Some more prophecies. There be three things which are too wonderful for me, yea, four which I know not. The way of an eagle in the air. I mean, that eagle's going to go where it's going to go, and it's not going to listen to me about where it's going to go.
You know, what's fascinating about an eagle or other flying animals is that the aerodynamics is what we use for the largest jets and the smallest airplanes. But the eagle is even more sophisticated because every feather has a connection to the computer that is in the brain of the eagle, and it can sense exactly what forces are happening or not happening to every feather. And they can adjust their muscles to make it either more aerodynamic or less aerodynamic, depending upon the need. It's just amazing how God has made that. Go ahead.
Yes. Number two on the list, the way of a serpent upon the rock. I know as kids, everybody tries to chase a snake when they see one. And the trouble is, you never can catch them most of the time. Number three on that list, the way of a ship in the midst of the sea. More true with sailing ships, but even now, all these sophisticated Navy ships with all their advanced guidance. Sometimes they still can't argue with the wind. They still get blown someplace they didn't want to go. And give this man credit. He said the fourth he didn't know about. The way of a man with a maid. I respect that man incredibly for admitting to that. That's how many guys like to say how great they are with the girls. Maybe better you shouldn't be saying that. One of the things that I think has been lost is, and doesn't get taught in the churches very much, is honestly the proper way to do courtship. Since we're not back in biblical times where marriage was a contract between families. No, it has to We have to be honorable in our courtships.
Amen.
And once he says that, he makes this statement: such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth, she wipeth her mouth, and saith, I have done no wickedness. Such a blindness that comes upon people, especially when they've committed adultery. The more they do it, the more they think it's okay, but it's not. Yet, adultery is one of the most common things we see in this day and age. And here is this guy, about 3,000 years ago, predicting this. For three things, the earth is disquieted, and for four, which it cannot bear. One, for a servant when he reigneth. A servant is supposed to obey his master, but too many times, especially in this generation, we've seen servants become masters. I hate to say, but that's what we see in the White House right now. We've got servants reigning because the master is not fit. And look where our country is. We have servants reigning that we don't know who they are. We didn't elect them. We didn't ask them to do what they're doing. And I hate to say it, but even in our legislatures, too many times the servants are telling their masters what to do because the masters are off to cocktail parties when they should be. And I remember hearing stories years ago. In fact, I went to it's a memorial museum for Congressman Wright Patman, who served in Congress for 30-some years. He was from Texas. He was a very devout man. And they told stories that when all the other guys were out partying, there was Wright Patman still up in his office with the light on at 10 o'clock at night, going over legislation that was going to be reviewed in Congress the next day. And also it's said that many times there was a congressman from Iowa, opposite party, he was a Republican, his name was H.R. Gross. And those two guys would often work together. Wright Patman was a Democrat. He knew what his Democrats would go for. H.R. Gross worked the Republican side, and between the two of them, a lot of legislation got passed. H.R. Gross was famous because he would stand right up there and expose all the pork barrel legislation, and so suddenly they had to get it out, because otherwise it would get all over the country.
That was when the citizens of the United States would object to fraud waste and corruption. That's correct. But you have nobody speaking up now. The silent majority is silent, which means that they have endorsed. Our silence has endorsed the foolishness that we see going on.
And in fact, number two almost fills in with it. A fool when he is filled with meat. You go to those parties, you eat till you're full. And hate to say it, I did that a few times, but now I've had to learn. You got to control what you eat. much as I like a steak, we don't want to like it too much or have it too much. In fact, my doctor, after one of my surgeries, 6 ounces. That's all you get.
But in your case, you had to temper what you were eating by the amount, simply because your body is too efficient. It's not because you were a fool.
Yes, unfortunately. And then number 3 on this list, I'm going to have to do an explanation here. For an odious woman when she is married. An odious woman is a contemptible woman, a woman that causes strife, that causes disagreements.
Division.
Division's another word that would fit. But we don't use that word odious anymore. I don't even think it's politically correct. And
probably because there's too many that are odious.
I would agree. And I'm already thinking of a few names in Congress, but it isn't limited to Congress. In fact, I see that happening more than I would care to like. Mm-hmm. And when they get married, they become Jezebels. And they run that marriage. Drive the guy to drink, and that's why, as Wynne Worley would point out, so many of them die in self-defense. And then number 4 is interesting too, because until we got to this generation, we never saw it. A handmaid that is heir to her mistress. Because in this day and age, we don't see many handmaids. We don't see women that are hired to help the wife with the things of the house. We call them maids today, but when we've seen now in many cases where the mistress has nobody else to give their money to, so they give it to the maid.
Well, you have that as well as the husband having wandering eyes and then taking up with the maid.
Oh, yes.
Supplanting her mistress. And we have that in the Bible as well when Abraham and Sarah decided that Sarah's handmaid could have a baby by Abraham. And guess what happened there? You can see the problems that occurred immediately. And that particular issue of Abraham had to be separated from the rightful heir and has been a thorn in the rightful heir's
side ever since.
That's right.
And it didn't get any better with Jacob.
No.
Not only did he do it once, he did it twice. He married both handmaids, the one of Leah and the one of Rachel.
Yep.
And we got a whole bunch of wild tribes because of it. So here he is. He's taken something from the Torah and seeing how it's caused problems.
Amen.
Well, give this man a lot of credit. He's really bright.
Well, and what he didn't know was that these are ageless proclamations that really coalesce right now in the end times.
In fact, I think if he were here today, we'd have a lot of explaining to do.
Yeah.
Then he goes in a different direction. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. And everybody looks at those ant colonies. There is not an insect in those colonies that isn't busting his tail. And they don't look like they're strong, yet you always find them sometimes where you don't want to find them. Like, for instance, one time when I first moved down to Texas, I'd always lived in the north before. And I was told, don't go out there in your bare feet to get the mail, Tom. Well, I went out to get my mail, my bare feet, and the fire ants got me.
Mm-hmm.
And they took a few chunks out of me.
Yes, yes. I had a interesting thing happen in Vietnam. We were on an operation moving to contact to the enemy. And we were moving through the jungle, coming down to a small tributary that we had to cross. My radio operator was right in front of me. We were far, far away from our base camp, so he had the 10-foot whip antenna that was on the portable antenna we were carrying. And as he leaned forward to go down the embankment to cross the water, that antenna, 10 feet up, hit a limb that was just covered with fire ants. And you never saw it. Of course, it came down directly on him and me. And I yanked that radio off of him as fast as I could so he could get his web gear off. And then, of course, I had to get my web gear off. And we had to get, you know, all the way down to our bare skin and submerge in the water in order to get rid of those ants. By that point in time, they had had a feast.
Ow. You probably still got marks on you from them.
Well, no. I was young then and healed quickly. But still, the sting lasted for quite a while.
Yes, I don't forget those very easily. And the conies are but a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in the rocks. That's better than some people, too, because Yahushua talked about the man who built his house on the sand. I think the conies had a little bit of sense where the man didn't.
Amen.
Next one. And this is something probably needs a lot more study. The locusts have no king, yet they go forth, all of them, by bands. And if you've ever seen, mostly in movies, but in other pictures, how a locust will come into a field and just chew it up.
And they do, and they lift off and they land in unison.
Yes. It's amazing when you read this and you remember just how disciplined they are. You wish you had troops like those locusts.
Mm-hmm.
And they all obey, yet you can't find their commander.
No.
You can't find the commanding locust. And then the last one. The spider taketh hold with her hands, and is in the king's palace, and is in king's palaces. Means I don't care how much you pay for your house, you're still going to have spiders. I know the exterminators say if you get rid of all the bugs, you won't have spiders. But I still see them. And I still remember one time I was looking at a house to buy, and the thing that turned us off real quick was there was this big wolf spider right in the front door.
Oh, good heavens.
Suddenly, I wasn't very interested in the place. because those wolf spiders can be as big as my hand.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to, as you can see, my hand practically takes up the camera, and that's a 1080p camera. So, here we go. They're little on the earth, but boy, they sure know what they're doing.
Amen. Well, the Lord, you know, it's interesting. We have not yet discovered what the signal is for the locusts to all home in on, but they're homing in on some signal in unison.
Yeah. I thought you guys would have figured that out by now. You know, with all the research they do at places like Iowa State and Michigan State, you still don't know.
No, they don't.
You know, speaking of those locusts that come up out of the, you know, those locust-like creatures that come up out of the pit, Revelation 9:11.
Yes.
Yes.
And they torment men, what, for about 5 or 6 months with their stings? And
yes.
People wish they could die, but they can't. They seek death, but they can't find it. They do hone in on those that are not marked with the seal of God on their foreheads. Is that correct?
That is correct. It's only those that are in the kingdom of the beast.
Yeah, the ones that have 216,000 genes instead of the 144,000 that we're supposed to have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what they're honing in on. Just saying that, you answered a question for me. They're maybe honing in on genetics.
Well, I'll say this much. If we haven't already died in Christ, and we're alive and remaining at that point in time, waiting for the last trump of God, that's my opinion. We don't get out of here till then, unless we've died in Christ. But I certainly want to be marked with that seal of God. Can you imagine being chased by these creatures and stung incessantly? There's a man who died and went to hell. Of course, God resurrected him before they had buried his body. You know, I mean, you've had many of these death experiences. But he came out of his body for a bit, went into hell, and he describes being stung by these creatures that would fly around and... as he has given the testimony, even cries on screen, an African-American brother that saw some of the torment going on right now to people being stung by these creatures down there. Now, I don't know if he saw just hell or he saw a glimpse of the future of people in the lake of fire, but these creatures, he said, huge, like a dog, flying around you, just stinging you. That was one of the many torments. This is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I know some think it's a helicopter, but I don't buy that. I think these are literal creatures with long hair. They look like a woman. It says their face is like a woman, right? And with teeth like a lion. Could you imagine that thing tracking you? Oh, my goodness. Bad enough some of those snakes that track you in the jungles.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We were going down an area, and we had a huge limb from this tree that the whole unit had to go single file underneath, and nobody was looking up. I happened to be the last man in the column, and I was scanning the top because it was my job to make sure that no enemy was up there. And there was this python with a head as big as a computer screen, and it was tracking every man as it went underneath him. And of course, nobody paused, but I think if any man had stopped and paused at that point in time, that thing would have fallen right on him.
Wow. I'm going to throw it back to you all. I'll get you off on a rabbit trail, as I often do.
Okay, well, let's continue. There be three things which go well, yea, four are comely in going, where it look good. A lion, which is strongest among beasts, and turneth not away for any, I would say probably any reason. You know, he's very forthright in what he's doing. A greyhound. Interesting, we're talking about a greyhound. Most people today consider a greyhound as something they watch at the dog races. But a greyhound was designed to chase rabbits and catch them. Now, they could chase other small game as well.
That takes an agility of being able to turn on a dime.
And they can. That's what they're bred to do. A he-goat also. And since Major Baird has goats, he can probably comment on that.
Oh, my goodness. Well, the he-goat himself is nasty. And he will not back down. You don't want to be in between a he-goat and an in-heat female goat. He's going to look at you as his enemy. And he will not back down.
There you go. And finally, number four on this list. Three of them which go well, but the fourth is comely and going as well. And that's a king against whom there is no rising up, no enemies going against him. If you have a king who's got a peaceful kingdom, that is a man who's done well. We don't see that much in this day and age, because we have so much of a spirit of greed in this world. And finally, we get to the last two verses. And these two are the strangest closing I would ever see to a prophecy. But they're still very, very important. If thou hast done foolishly in lifting up thyself, or if thou hast thought evil, lay thy hand upon thy mouth. Bite your tongue.
Amen.
You know, the easiest thing to do when you've started down the wrong road is to stop and go back the other way. And maybe realize that you're going to take some heat for it.
Well, we've got that particular thing unfolding before us right now in a major way. All of the Western democracies, the leadership of the Western democracies, who are acting as though they were little children, starting from the one in the United States, who is the one that instigated the whole thing, they have determined in their heart that they are better than other individuals, and that they and their greed has lifted them up to want and to lust after. And what does the commandment say? Covet not what your neighbor has. Well, they covet Russia, they covet China, and they can't stand it if Russia or China, which are sovereign, separate nations, they are not according to what we have, although Russia right now is more democratic in its processes of decision making than we are. We are now a dictatorial, totalitarian state. We are not a democracy at all. We have laws that are nothing but flimsy paper to be used to wipe our bottom when we've defecated. And that's exactly what they're doing with it. And because they have proclaimed a sanction, a series of punishments for Russia against their economic markets that we depend on. Now, how stupid can you be when you tell the person that's giving you, that has all the things that you need and you that are vital for your survival, and you say, I'm going to prohibit you selling them to me? Well, we've done that, and we've done it to ourselves. Now, they have lifted themselves up, and the pride of foolishness, the foolishness of pride itself, has taken over, and they cannot find it within themselves to admit, oh my goodness, I've done it. I've done myself harm. I need to go back with hat in hand and humble pie and ask for forgiveness and restoration. But do you think that any one of these leaders in the UK, Germany, France, Italy, United States, Australia, New Zealand, the other foolish Western democracies that have bought into this particular unitary form of world enslavement? It is not a world government. It's a world enslavement run by Satan himself. And Satan is full of pride, and his whole kingdom that these people have bought into are full of pride, and they cannot find it within themselves to back off from the evil that they have thought. And we see it right now. This is a prophecy for us, and we're part of it. I hate to say it. As much as I love my country and I love the way that we have been given this form of a republic by God, and that's what our forefathers, the generation of our forefathers, said, this was handed to us by the mouth of God. But now that we have divorced ourselves from God, we are a godless nation. And when you're a godless nation, who takes over? A vacuum cannot prevail. Something has to fill it. And we have created a vacuum by divorcing ourselves from God. And the only one that's left is the devil and his evil, ancient evil itself.
Amen.
And that's what's filling it.
And then the last little one says pretty much the same thing. Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. So the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife.
And exactly what we're going to see. We are seeing it now, and we will see it increase and accelerate. And if I were in the flesh, I would be terribly afraid, because I know the ultimate strife they are pushing for, and they make no bones about it. They're open about it. Russia has called them out on it. They have said, do not blackmail us with weapons of mass destruction, nuclear weapons.
Well, and just what we've said a few weeks ago, what is the folly of that? We posted the talk by Colonel Bearden.
Exactly.
And they have weapons that can find our nuclear weapons and immobilize them.
Yes.
So that suddenly they're the only ones with nuclear weapons. And they're at their mercy.
That's right. They even have electromagnetic weapons that can destroy us. Well, in fact, that is the weapon that will be use to ferret out our nuclear weapons and destroy them in place.
Now
that we have our nuclear weapons all around our nation, what's our nation going to look like?
It's one of the reasons I'm very thankful that all the nuclear weapons are 200 miles to the north of me.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
And also about 300 miles to the south of me. Because you get up to Cheyenne Mountain in Colorado, there's a lot of them.
Yep.
And that's actually about 120 miles to the north of me.
But just pray that prevailing winds will continue from west to east and not
decide to go south, which sometimes they do.
That's exactly right.
And, you know, if you go to Matthew 24, Yahushua tells us that we can pray to change weather conditions.
Exactly.
And so I've put through here, and I don't know how these books got bigger, but we have, I probably need to change the lettering to make it a little smaller next time, but I have my email, my websites, and the books.
Oh, I see what you're talking about. The
Cyber Love's Illusions, which
yes,
I was heavily involved with them. Sometime I would like to see them come out with a new edition, but unfortunately, half the authors are dead. 21st Century Warfare Prayers, we're working on a new edition.
Amen.
But I see that Amazon's selling it even cheaper than I was selling it, so you might be able to get a bargain. In fact, speaking of bargains, Amazon is selling Alive on the Edge for $6 right now. So if you've been hesitating to get it because the finances are a little tight, now is your chance. And I saw another thing where you can get The Sharp Edge of the Sword and Alive on the Edge for a special price on Amazon. So
I think,
click on Alive on the Edge. I've put links in those.
I think everybody out there should bookmark these websites and go and study them. Both of you gentlemen have great resources there. And pick up these books. I want to thank you, gentlemen, for coming on tonight. What shall we title this for the archives?
This, actually, let's go back to the beginning. We'll call it the Agur Prophecy.
Fantastic. Sorry I'm joining you late in video. But
that's
here we
okay.
are. Gentlemen, thank you for coming on. If either of you would like any additional time privately, singularly, I can get you additional slots. And of course, Brother Tom Mack, you know that when you're ready for your next late night program, just let me know what date.
Yeah, let's try to do another Saturday one if we can.
Okay. And Brother Baird, anytime you've got more you'd like to share, let me know and I'll find you a slot. We're on a new schedule now, Monday through Sunday, 7 Eastern till we finish. So we got plenty of slots there.
Yeah, we still need to work on the hierarchy with him.
Okay. Yeah, I probably do need to continue that. hopefully here I'll have an office available within, I don't know. Well, the problem is I don't know when that's going to be, and we're still in the process of building the house.
Okay.
But then it'll be much easier for me to schedule any particular time.
Fantastic. Gentlemen, thank you for coming on tonight. You want to close us in prayer?
Yes, please.
Yes.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for these moments that we could be together and to highlight the prophecy that was spoken by you to us so many thousands of years ago. And Lord, we pray that now is the time. For you have created each of us not to be born at some other generation, but to be born now as such a time as this. For each one of us has a great purpose for that you have purposed for each of us. Help us, Lord, to find it and to follow it. Guide us along its path that we may do the best for you and with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Gentlemen, love you both. Thank you for coming on. We'll see you next time.
Amen. The Lord bless you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Friends, we're going to continue with the program.